Thank you. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be the kingdom, now and forever.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Grant to us, Lord, we pray, the Spirit to think and do always those things that are right, that we who cannot exist without you may by you be enabled to live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the reading.
A reading from the first book of Kings. Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat. Otherwise, the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Verily, truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We find ourselves this summer in the midst of a rather long season of hearing readings about the bread of life. We heard about it last week. We've heard I am the bread of life this week, and we will hear I am the bread of life again next week. But today's readings, I think, particularly are intimately connected to a scriptural passage that aren't actually in the readings. It's found in the midst of Moses' exhortation to the Israelites at the end of their time in the wilderness. Moses said, "Remember the long way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, in order to humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. He humbled you by letting you hunger, then by feeding you with manna, with which neither you nor your ancestors were acquainted, in order to make you understand that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." One does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. We all know this verse, especially its literal and figurative bottom line there. We know it pretty well. But the more we consider, I think, the heart of the words, the more meaningful they can become. How would you do it? How would you prove to someone that we do not live by bread alone? What would you give someone to make them understand this? Now, someone seminary trained in the fine art of pedagogy might insist on a sermon or a lecture or trying to create some spiritual experience. Or someone that might be focused on adult education might offer a really spiffy adult class, you know, with videos and worksheets and small groups to discuss the topics. Maybe that would do it. What do you think? What would you give someone so they could understand that we do not live by bread alone? Well, our ways are not God's ways. And God's way is a bit surprising. 1 Kings tells us that when Elijah was at the point of literally begging God to take his life, God gave him bread. When the Israelites complained that they would rather have died by the hand of the Lord in Egypt rather than have been brought out into the wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger, God responded by giving them manna. Manna was literally bread, or at least bread-like stuff that came down to the Israelites from heaven. Elijah got ordinary bread. They ate it, and it kept them alive. They couldn't live without it. But isn't that sort of strange? Why give bread to people to make them understand that they do not live by bread alone? Of all the things to give, why give the one thing that seems to prove that you can live by bread alone? Well, this may have been the most important part of Israel's sojourn in the wilderness, the most important part of their formation into the people of God. Jesus recognizes that they and we need to be taught the same lesson again and again and continually formed. Because if the people couldn't get this, if they couldn't figure out what was going on with the manna or with the miraculous feeding of the 5,000 that had just happened, if they couldn't understand about the loaves, well then, how could he make them see? The key to all this is that God gave Israel and Elijah, and Jesus gave the crowd, bread, but in such a way that it was obvious that the bread was a pure gift, complete grace. They didn't make it, they didn't work for it, they couldn't pay for it. It was just given. So they had the chance to look at bread, at what Father Raja told us last week is considered the essential stuff of life in the Middle East and symbolic of food in general the world over. They had the chance to see this bread with clarity. They had a chance to see that beyond the thing itself, and to see that this vital stuff was also, and most importantly, a gift from God. As a completely free gift, no strings attached, it's a sign of God's love and of God's call to relationship. Since it was so clearly a gift, they were able to see that the thing, the bread itself, meant more than what it was all by itself. All real gifts do. Don't we always say about gifts, it's the thought that counts? Though, to be honest, we say that most often today when we're completely unimpressed with the gift itself. But there's so much truth at the heart of that statement. Think about it. When we give roses to our sweetheart, the roses wither and die within a few days. But it's the love behind the gift that matters. And even when I was a kid and I would open that package of socks on Christmas morning, it still proved that somebody is thinking about you, that somebody cares. But if the manna and the five loaves, if the stuff that God gives us so that we can live is given to us not just to keep us alive, but also to draw us to God and to life with God, then we do not and cannot live by bread alone. So oddly, the only gift that can really show us that we do not live by bread alone is free bread. Anything less vital, anything less essential to life, would allow us to cling to life for its own sake and to make all questions of meaning secondary and avoidable. This is still going on, and even now, God gives us life and the stuff of life, not because life is the most important thing in the world for us, but just exactly because it is not. We're given these as gifts to help us realize that God and life with God are the most important. We see this with special clarity at the altar, where the bread we receive is clearly not about itself alone, but it's mystically joined with something much greater than itself. So we can look with awe and reverence upon something as simple as a thin and frankly tasteless wafer, because we know it to be a sign and a symbol and the real presence of something much greater than flour and water. But the sign, symbol, and presence of this bread itself is the sign and symbol of everything that we have, of our families, our wealth, our very lives. Part of the point of this bread, the bread of the Eucharist, is to teach us that we do not live by bread alone. This bread is special so that we can understand that all bread, all that we have, all that's necessary for life, is special too. It's all given to us as grace, as a sign, symbol, and occasion of God's love. Christ comes to us in bread, in the Eucharist, to draw us past the bread itself and beyond ourselves, so that we, seeing both the gift and the giver, will respond in love and service. Creation, all of creation, is sacramental, an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace, as the prayer book says, in this sense. So it's all interconnected, it's interwoven and inseparable. The bread we eat every day, Israel's manna in the wilderness, and Jesus being the bread of life, along with our weekly Eucharist, they all intersect and interrelate. Here's one way to try and wrap our brains around that. There's an old rabbinic admonition that insists about everything and everything in our lives: if you do not give thanks for it, it's bad for you. The food you eat, the clothes you wear, the air you breathe, the people and things in your life, if you do not give thanks for them, they're bad for you. So if you have enough to eat, and the strength to go on for another day, and people who care about you, if you have all of that, and you still don't give thanks for you, it's bad for you. All of it. It's poisoning your soul and shrinking your life. Really. That's because giving thanks for something puts it in its proper place. It places the thing as part of our relationship with God and God's relationship with us. That's where things, all things, properly belong. Anything, especially bread, is understood properly only when it's understood in relationship to God. On the other hand, if we do give thanks for it, then it can be good for us. If we give thanks for it, then every part of our lives can draw us toward the only source of meaning and hope that makes any sense. In fact, that's what the Greek verb eucharisteo, where we get the word Eucharist from, means: to give thanks. It's central to our Christian life, and as the prayer book says, our principal act of worship, of our principal act of Christian worship. It's very easy to forget this. It's very easy to value the things of creation and of our lives for themselves, to take them outside the context of our relationship with God. When we do this, when we see only what is right in front of us and no more, then we're made poorer for it. We're barely living on the surface of our lives and of our world. That's what it means to live by bread alone. To live by bread alone means to see no farther than the things themselves and to miss the presence, the love, and the call of God that are really part of every piece of bread we have. It's to miss the gift and the love behind the gift. All that we have, all that we are, all that we think makes us who we are is like the bread that God gave to Elijah and to Israel, like the loaves that Christ broke for the multitude. They're grace, free gifts of God's love, and they exist to call our attention beyond them, beyond ourselves, and call us to understand that we do not live by bread alone. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again. In accordance with the Scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, we pray for the cities of this nation that hatred and urban violence may cease. We pray especially for our own city of Jacksonville. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the nations of the earth, that we may come to respect and honor one another. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray together for the Middle East, using a prayer written by our own parishioners. Almighty God, lover and provider of peace that the world cannot give, you know our hearts, the hurt we harbor, and the sin of complacency. We ask you to grant everyone who lives in the Middle East the peace of God which passes all understanding, and the freedom to live in love and harmony, so everyone can seek your face and work for your glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns in peace with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Embrace the souls of those who have died. I invite you to speak aloud the names of those who have died. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you created the heavens and the earth. Thank you for the gift of our lives, for our loved ones, for this community, and for this beautiful earth that we call home. We thank you for all of our blessings. I invite you to speak aloud your thanksgivings. Lord, in your mercy,
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We ask you, Almighty God, to forgive all the mistakes that we have made. Help us to become the people that you call us to be. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit keep you in eternal life. Amen. May the peace of the Lord be always with you. Well, good morning. I'd like to start off by welcoming all visitors. If we have any visitors with us, welcome to St. John's Cathedral. We're very happy to have you with us. If there are any visitors present, if you'll raise your hands, the ushers will bring you a little something. You just have to keep your hands up so they can find you. Okay? Don't forget that during the summer months, we have breakfast in Tolliver Hall every Sunday at 9 o'clock. There are only two more summer breakfasts left after today, so come and enjoy at 9 o'clock. It's always wonderful. If you'd like to help a group cook breakfast during the summer, please contact Sue Engelman at the church office. The more the merrier. The more people we can get in there cooking, the easier it is for everyone. What's the old saying? Many hands make light work. If you have a pastoral need, don't hesitate to contact your designated shepherd. These are wonderful people who look forward to hearing from you and want to help us help you, okay? A list of them is provided in your bulletin. There's also a list of them on the website. So if you lose the bulletin, you can always go to the website and find your shepherd there. The next Sunday for baptism is August the 16th, which is next Sunday. If you or someone you know is interested in being baptized, please contact Sue at the church office by tomorrow. Back there. You can see her back there in the green sweater. You can find extension 24. Next Sunday, there's also an Ultrea for all you Cursiistas out there at St. Gabriel's at 5 o'clock. If you'd like to come, just bring a covered dish to share with everyone, okay? Family Promise families will be back staying with us here at the Cathedral from August 30th to September 6th, so a week they'll be with us. There's many ways that you can make these families feel at home. So contact Gloria Miller or my wife, Laura Saxton, if you have any questions or you'd like to volunteer. See your bulletin for their contact information. It's in there. And last but not least, August 30th is also Rally Day, the kickoff for our sort of fall season, right? So it's almost here. We're almost at the end of summer. See your bulletin. There's lots of details about Rally Day in there. Of course, if you're part of or head of a ministry who would like to have a booth at Rally Day for people to come and find out about you, then also talk to Sue. She's been on vacation for a week, so call her and call her and call her. Walk in love and gave himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise.
Glory to you forever and ever.
At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race, and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another.
Have mercy, Lord, for we are sinners in your sight.
Again and again you called us to return. Through prophets and sages you revealed your righteous law, and in the fullness of time you sent your only Son, born of a woman, to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace. And therefore we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. And so, Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption, and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming. Lord God of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this holy communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Risen Lord, be known to us in the breaking of the bread. Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit, your Church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. My brothers and sisters, life is short, and there is too little time to gladden the hearts of those around us. So be swift to love and make haste to be kind, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.